I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Second Tier Preview Show, brought to you by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks and I'm joined by the Ken Barlow to my Deirdre Barlow. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Do I still sound croaky, Justin?
you sound less Deirdre Barlow, more so Sean Dyche, which is, I think, is maybe a good spectrum to be on in terms of gravelly voice.
I'd rather be Deirdre Barlow, I think. Oh, Ken, that kind of thing, instead of talking about eating worms all the time.
Eating worms and playing shithouse football. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I mean, if you shaved your head as well, you have a bit of Dyche about you. He's a bit ginger, although he's a bit of a hard man. You're a bit of a softie. I think that's the only significant difference there.
Yeah, that's why I'm going more for Deirdre, I think. You don't know what Deirdre Barlow's style of football was like, and that's the main thing that you're missing out here. Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, this is the preview show brought to you by SBK. So we're going to be making some predictions for the weekend, as well as looking ahead to our game of the weekend, which we'll talk about very shortly. And then we'll finish our proceedings with a good old game of Scott High or Ryan Lowe. And our game of the weekend is none other than the South Wales derby between Cardiff and Swansea. I mean, Justin, big game, as we all know, because two massive, massive rivals, possibly not as much at stake this season, with Cardiff very much an outside shot for the top six, whereas Swansea are very much an outside chance for relegation, I suppose. But still a lot of pride at stake here, isn't there? Quick question to start things off, I suppose. Is the South Wales derby the biggest derby outside of the Premier League right now? I'm talking about just two teams in the AFL. I'm not talking like, you know, Sheffield United, Chef Wednesday, for example, because, you know, one's a Premier League side. But would you say out of just EFL sides, it's the biggest one?
It probably is in terms of magnitude and the clubs involved. The argument I would make for the other pair of clubs is AFC Wimbledon and MK Dons. After recent history, shall we say, of the AFC Wimbledon game and MK Dons game a couple of weeks ago, where it was absolute chaos and pandemonium, and that's what really makes you enjoy and love football. But in terms of sort of the locality aspect of it, I certainly think the South Wales derby one is the biggest. Again, Norwich and Ipswich might have a question about that, but they're not as close together or as closely fought together, I think, or as angry and volatile as the fans in South Wales, I would say.
I would say the East Anglian derby is bigger for me at the moment. I think that derby gets a lot of disrespect just because they're so far apart, if you see what I mean. Mm-hmm. Where this one is obviously still a massive, massive game. I get what you mean about MK Dons and Wimbledon. Still not technically a local derby, is it? Because they're quite far apart in terms of distance. But obviously, there's the history, the storyline behind that one.
Yeah, it depends how you define derby, isn't it? Does it have to be local, or can it just be a derby? There might be some people that will listen back to this and go, "Well, derbies they've only got to be local. Derbies are only local." But I think there are special exceptions like AFC Wimbledon and MK Dons because they were local.
I would call that more of a grudge match as opposed to a derby.
I don't think that does it a service. I don't think that does it a service. And that's by the by, because this is the South Wales derby. But I think the definitions is something to maybe, when we have this debate again at some point, when Norwich and Ipswich play each other in a few weeks' time, we'll have this debate again. It'd be good to get our definitions down to the ground as to what a derby actually is.
I think more that you've spoken about it now, I do think a derby is purely just a local thing, whereas MK Dons Wimbledon is more of a rivalry / grudge match as opposed to a derby per se. But I think we've also got to give mentions to, you know, Stoke v Port Vale, Bristol City and Bristol Rovers. The only issue there is, obviously, those two games haven't happened in the league for quite some time now. And no disrespect to the other teams, but there's one clear bigger side in terms of both games as well. But you know what? I would say the South Wales derby is probably second for me in the biggest derbies currently in the EFL. But Cardiff head into this one as one of the form teams in the division, don't they? After four wins on the bounce, Swansea's form has been very mixed. 3 wins in 11, 2 draws and 6 losses. Just to give this game an extra little spice, though, Justin, this could be the first ever league double by Cardiff in the South Wales derby. How about that? They've never done it before. And that is incredible. But the scenes in Cardiff afterwards, should they manage to pull it off, would be amazing, wouldn't they?
It would be huge. It would be huge. I mean, you saw the relief that the fans felt when they beat them early on in the season, because it was, you know, it was massive. They hadn't had a good record against Swansea in recent times, and Swansea had been enjoying themselves a lot more than Cardiff fans because of how Cardiff have been performing over the last few seasons in the Championship. Swansea have sort of had it quite lucky. They've had a couple of playoff campaigns under Steve Cooper coming down from the Premier League. They've enjoyed themselves. So for Cardiff, yeah, to get one earlier on this season and to be in a better position in the league, yeah, it does give you scenes. And then if they can really compile that and improve, keep their run of form going, and do the double over Swansea and be within a breath of the playoffs. Ooh, yeah, those full-time scenes will be a sight to behold. They'll be incredible.
Yeah, it will be certainly one to keep an eye on this weekend. I mean, it's got to be said, form goes out the window in a derby, Justin.
There we go, there
so
we go.
Whether that happens or not, only time will tell. But let's be honest, if Cardiff do the league double over Swansea this season, it would really compound the misery of Swansea fans after what has been a pretty underwhelming season in itself. But that frustration was particularly palpable during a fan meeting on Monday with the Swansea board. Chairman Andy Coleman and sporting director Paul Watson were quizzed, and it sounds like it was a very uncomfortable experience for the pair of them. The second question, Justin, from supporters was this. We've wasted a lot of money. The Ukrainian's been mentioned and has barely kicked a ball. That Dutch left-back is out on loan. I don't think he's played a single minute. Jerry Yates hasn't worked out either. Can we have any faith in you, Paul Watson? It's a pretty stinging one to do so early on in the meeting, isn't it?
It's just to direct the question at Paul Watson himself. Are you good enough for the job, Paul Watson? Is this all on you, Paul Watson? Like, it is such a dagger towards him. And uncomfortable was the best description of it. But I think it paints a picture of the scenario the fans have with the board. It's not been in good shape since the US owners came in all those years ago. It's not been a great relationship at all. Recruitment's been so-so. The style of play is, you know, does anyone understand what the Swansea way is? I mean, Paul Watson has been criticised for not necessarily getting it, shall we say. I've seen a lot around that, and it just paints a picture of the relationship between the fans and the supporters, and it's never been great, and it will never be great unless the board actually takes some proactive measures to try and put some good building blocks in place, because at the moment, both South Wales clubs are pretty much rudderless from the top.
Yeah. Quick other point to mention from that meeting as well. At one point, a fan said, "It feels like my club is being run by a Captain America comedy act and a Kenilworth Road tour guide."
Oh my God. Was that said during the meeting, or was that a reaction to the meeting?
It was actually said during the meeting, yes.
Oh my God.
I would have loved to have been there for this thing, Justin, because it sounds so cringe-inducing. The Kenilworth Road thing, by the way, is because Paul Watson used to be at Luton. But you are absolutely right, Justin. Some of the decision-making by Swansea at the top over the past year or so has been particularly questionable, hasn't it? The recruitment has not been great, and they have spent a fair bit of money in that time. Yeah. So that's why this season has been completely and utterly underwhelming from their perspective, and just one where they've not really managed to go in any sort of direction at all, have they? But from a Cardiff perspective, Justin, did you see that Aaron Ramsey's been called up to the Wales squad despite only playing 72 minutes since September? Bit of a strange one, isn't it?
It's got calf injury written all over it, hasn't it? Let's be honest, he's going to pick up a calf strain. He's going to be out for another 3 or 4 weeks, which is basically the season at this point.
Well, I was wondering with this, because you may, if you recall back to the World Cup, Wales called up quite a few players, didn't they, who were, you know, experienced pros but weren't necessarily there to play much because of a mixed factor of injury and just them not being very good enough anymore. Whereas Aaron Ramsey is obviously injured, as we know. And I'm guessing he might just be there for that, just to, you know, be a person around the dressing room, even though he can't kick a ball.
Yeah, hopefully that's the case. Hopefully, I mean, how far away is he from returning to from injury? Because if he's...
They said after the international break, Cardiff said. So I can't imagine they're too chuffed about him being called up.
Well, no, exactly. And I think as well, if you paint a little bit more of a picture, Cardiff are 5 points off the top six. You get Rambo back fully fit. Those chances of finishing in the top six, they increase significantly. So this is a huge risk for Ramsey and Cardiff, because if he picks up a knock, even just running... Because I know Ramsey is very injury prone, so he could just do a quick stretch out of bed, and that's a calf gone or a hamstring tweaked. He's not in his peak years, is he? To be honest, so any of those scenarios, I mean, that could happen at Cardiff anyway, but that's not my point. It's just a risk if he does end up playing. And Robert Page is quite a stubborn manager. I mean, you look at Gareth Bale during the World Cup playing through injury and not taking him off, despite him being completely oblivious. And I can see the same thing happening with Ramsey here, because they've got some big games coming up for Wales.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much he is going to play, and it may just be for him to be sort of a glorified cheerleader. But yeah, definitely an interesting one, calling him up after he's only played 72 minutes since September. Remarkable, really. But Justin, it's now time for our second tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can curate your own bet builder from a range of markets for any championship game. It's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app, and you'll find substantially better odds there than any other bookmaker. So every Friday, we're making our own bet builder with four selections, all relating to our game of the week, which is, of course, the South Wales Derby. So that's two for Justin and two for me. Justin, what are your selections?
I've gone with Cardiff City to win and Perry Ng to score. Cardiff's form suggests to me that they are, quote, unquote, a banker for this game. But form goes out of the window, so we won't choose them for the bankers for later on in the episode. But as I say, I'm going to use the language just to irritate some Cardiff fans, because the back and forth over the last few weeks has been hilarious. Now, going over to Perry Ng as well, he's Cardiff's top goal scorer. He's their leader without the armband. He's a wonderful shithouse as well. And he's a man for the big moment. And that's whether he's notching up from a set piece or scoring directly from a free kick, Cardiff are going to call upon him, I think, in this game at several occasions to not bail them out, but certainly edge a tight game.
Yeah, well, we've made a lot of chat recently, haven't we, about Cardiff being very prolific from set pieces. Perry Ng is one of the people they aim for at set pieces. So you know what? Him to score. Not a completely outrageous pick here, Justin. My selections are under 2.5 goals and under 3.5 cards. Now, what can sometimes happen in these games is everyone expects there to be a lot of cards because it is a derby, but actually the referee can be keen to manage the game and not let things go out of control. We actually saw that in the reverse fixture this season. Only two cards were given out. And considering how much is at stake here, both teams very much outsiders to be involved in the relegation battle or the top six picture, I could easily see that happening right here. And also, the referee for this is David Webb. Out of all the officials who have been in charge of 20 games or more in the Championship this season, he's dished out the second fewest cards per game. So there's a lot of logic to that pick, but I think it's one that certainly has precedence. And the South Wales Derby, in terms of the under 2.5 goals, the South Wales Derby tends not to be a goal fest. 9 of the last 13 meetings between these two have had under 2.5 goals. And I won't be surprised if that's the same here. Once again, Cardiff, as we have alluded to again recently, not the best going forwards, and Swansea are much better either. So that's why I've gone with that. And a £10 bet with SBK on our bet builder returns £1,492. New SBK users can take advantage of £30 in free bets when you place your first £10 bet. T's and C's apply, over 18s only. And please do gamble responsibly. That again, Cardiff to win, Perry Ng to score, under 2.5 goals and under 3.5 cards. A £10 bet with SBK on that returns £1,492. Bloody hell, Justin. Right, It's now time for us to look ahead to the weekend. And in each preview episode of the second tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider. So someone we think is going to win, but is bigger odds with our friends at SPK than their opponents. We're tracking how we do as the season goes on. It's 1 point for a correct banker, 2 points for an outsider. Whoever loses has to do a forfeit. That will be a CrossFit workout for myself, while Justin has to do a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. The current scores are 37-27 to the Dilks Diehards. The Peach Posse managed to pull back a point last weekend, but time's running out, Justin. You've got 7 preview shows left to overcome a 10-point deficit. What do you think?
What do I think? I think I am optimistic. I'm fully behind myself of picking 4 points this week. Picking up 4 points this week. I don't think that's possible. 3 points
this
week.
No, you can get 3 points, you fucking idiot.
I'll get an extra point from somewhere. It all counts. It all counts. We'll play the percentages. We'll play the percentages. Go full samurai dice.
You've got a maximum of 21 points up for grabs. It's not long now until it's mathematically impossible for you to pull
this. What do you mean it's
back?
Not long now? Are you saying it's like an inevitability? It isn't. It isn't. I'm still in this and you know it and you're shitting yourself. You are shitting yourself.
I'm not sure shitting myself is the phrase I would exactly use, considering it's a 10-point gap and it's been this way for quite some time now. But, you know, I'll let you live in your own little bubble for now. Justin, let's see if you can make any progress this week. What is your banker for the weekend?
My banker is Ipswich to beat Sheffield Wednesday. Look, it's Ipswich at home. They're reeling from a defeat, a glitch in the matrix, because Cardiff Ipswich by scoring 2 late goals. That was a really difficult thing to say. Didn't need to be, but it was. And as I say, they're reeling from that defeat against a team who have the third worst away record in the division in Wednesday. And yes, I know Danny Rawl has led them to 2 away wins away from Hillsborough against Millwall and Rotherham. But to be fair to Ipswich, that was Millwall and Rotherham, 2 teams that are down at the bottom of the table, not the Mighty Tractor Boys. Yes, I use the term Mighty Tractor Boys because I'm fully behind Kieran McKenna and his boys and this bloody tractor that is going up, apparently. And I'd say this is Ipswich at home. It's a carefree mentality. It's a sheer boldness in which they attack, and this game could end 6-5. It's what Ipswich do. They have no care for their fans at home. Whatever their heart rates are going to be, they're going to make sure they're high. And it's a game that Ipswich have to win to stay within touch of the top two, because Leeds are also brumming forward.
Brumming forward?
Yeah, like a car, like brum, 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 brum.
Okay, fine. Not sure that works out, but, you know, I get the point behind it. It's interesting how much the biggest opposition to the Ipswich tractor has managed to pick Ipswich in recent weeks. But, you know, it goes to show that Ipswich, they do have some credence behind them. And look, Sheffield Wednesday's a tough game because they have been in good form recently, even though they lost at the weekend against Leeds. But Ipswich are a bloody good side, and they have got to make this 3 points, haven't they? They simply have to if they want to try and keep this promotion, automatic promotion push alive. And if they don't, then maybe you could easily just kiss it goodbye, Justin.
Well, this is it. If you lose at home to Sheffield Wednesday, no disrespect to Sheffield Wednesday, a team that are in the bottom three and have struggled for large portions of the season, then, yeah, you are. And obviously, if Leeds win as well on Sunday against Millwall, you are asking questions about whether this automatic promotion push is going to sustain itself. We are going into an international break, so that does help, because the season basically resets after that, doesn't it? In a sense that teams go again. But you have to be winning games against teams in the bottom half of the table or even outside the playoffs if you have any realistic expectation of pushing for the top two. If you don't, do you deserve it? Probably not.
Well, Leeds aren't looking like they're going to blink anytime soon, exactly, are they? So if Ipswich are going to go up automatically, they're going to have to win pretty much every game between now and the end of the season, particularly against the team which are second from bottom. Yeah. Admittedly, Sheffield Wednesday have been in good form recently, but this is simply a must win from an Ipswich perspective. My game of the weekend, my banker for the weekend, rather, is Huddersfield to beat Rotherham. Now, usually a game between 24th and 22nd would be a relegation 6-pointer at this stage in the season, but that would be giving Rotherham way too much credit because they're virtually down already and it's only a matter of time before they're officially relegated. It's gone from bad to worse to shit, and it's reaching a whole new level now because they've lost 9 in a row, and if they lose here, they'll equal the record for the most consecutive losses in a championship season, which is pretty incredible, really, isn't it? And look, there's very little cause for encouragement that can stop them from happening, because they've lost 5-0 in each of their last 2 games. and seem to have just given up. They are the meme of that guy on the chase saying, what's the point? That is Rotherham United now. They are just cruising towards League One once again. So if you're coming into this from a Huddersfield Town perspective, they have to come here and win. They've dropped into the bottom three and simply have to make the most of this opportunity to get out. They've had an encouraging start under old Dre Brighton-Writer, although it was a bit concerning how they completely collapsed in the second half against West Brom last weekend. But a game against Rotherham right now is as much as a tap-in as you'll possibly ever get in the Championship. So Huddersfield simply have to win here, don't they, Justin?
Well, if this game's a tap-in, then Huddersfield are canoe, aren't they, really? Let's be honest, because Huddersfield have the ability to Huddersfield themselves. And that's me quoting Huddersfield fans. I've spoken to a few in the lead-up to this game, and they're pretty nervous about this one. They've recognised that despite being useless, Rotherham don't concede as many at home as you'd expect. In fact, they've conceded less at home than Ipswich. So is that a sticking point?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's definitely something to be concerned about. Having said that, Rotherham have seemed to just get worse and worse recently. Admittedly, the 2-5-0s were away from home, and their away form is absolutely appalling. Must be one of the worst away forms we've ever seen at this level.
Yeah.
And they have caused a few upsets at home this season, haven't they? But at the same time, their recent form has just been so shocking that I think Huddersfield will be a massive, massive disappointment from their behalf, even if they come into this and just draw. But look, they've got the weapons to harm Huddersfield. Sauber Thomas has been in fine form recently, as has Jack Rodoni. And as long as Sauber Thomas is as consistent as ever with his set pieces and his crossing, then he will cause Rotherham problems.
Yeah, and you've got a player like Michael Helic, who's got 9 goals for the season and mostly from set pieces, and Sauber Thomas, who delivery at set pieces is so consistent, then you are expecting results. But at the same time, Rotherham have one of the probably best keepers in the division in Victor Johansson. And I think if anyone's going
to... He's had a bit of a stinker in the last two games, to be fair, Justin.
Yeah, it's not been good, but he'll bounce back. It's Victor Johansson. It's Big Vic, the big Swede. So if anything's going to unravel Huddersfield, it's their ability to put chances away and their ability to beat Johansson. I don't think Rotherham are going to offer anything of any interest, shall we say. It's just going to be Huddersfield against Victor Johansson. And for me, that's the sticky point.
So there are mine and Justin's two bankers for this weekend. And every week, we combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time results of our game of the weekend to create our very own second tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week, we're going for Cardiff, Ipswich and Huddersfield all to win. And a £10 bet on that returns £114 with SBK. You can create your own multiple with 3 or more bets on the full-time results of any game from across the Championship. T's and T's apply, over 18s only. And please do gamble responsibly. That again, Cardiff, Ipswich and Huddersfield all to win. A £10 bet on that returns £114 with SBK. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll reveal our outsiders for the weekend.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Second Tier Podcast. This is the preview show where we're making our predictions for the weekend and we'll be revealing our outsiders very shortly for the Championship. But just a quick mention for this, Justin. We were chatting to our friends at SBK earlier and they told us this, which is quite remarkable. On January the 13th, Leicester were 2-13 to win the title. Now they're 4-6. On the same day, January the 13th, that is, Leeds were 22-1. Now they're 12-5. That is incredible. isn't it? Will the odds shorten even further? We'll find out on Sunday when Leeds face Millwall. Leicester, of course, aren't playing this weekend because of the FA Cup. But Leeds could go top this weekend with a win, which would be some turn for the books, wouldn't it? And really put the pressure on Leicester City to bounce back after the international break. So certainly one to keep an eye on for this weekend. Right, it's now time for us to reveal our outsiders. Justin, what have you gone for, big boy?
I've gone with Preston to beat Plymouth. Ryan Lowe's travelling back to Devon. I need to say Devonshire then. That would have been an absolute catastrophic mistake once again.
It's not the first time you've done that.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to avoid it. Yeah, Ryan Lowe's taking Preston down to Plymouth, his old club, which I think is actually an interesting bit of narrative because it's the first time he would have faced Plymouth since leaving a few years ago now, actually. And I think Preston's form's been okay. It's probably been overlooked by us a little bit, but they've been in decent form, which has put them in contention for the playoffs. And I said it in a jovial manner a couple of weeks ago that Preston were accidentally pushing for the playoffs, and it does still feel like that way in a sense. But I think with Preston now, it's a now or never opportunity to get a run of results to going. And a couple against the Plymouth side who have lost three at home on the bounce as well. And Ian Foster seems to have lost his touch, not really gained his touch. Down on the south coast, if it counts as a south coast. And my geography is terrible, as we all know.
Jesus Christ.
It's the south coast, isn't it, Plymouth?
Do you know where Devon is?
Yeah, but Plymouth's on the south coast.
Yeah, well, it is the south coast.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Devon's a big place. Devonshire. Where am I going?
For God's sake.
Anyway, yeah, I've gone with Preston to beat Plymouth. They're slim outsiders. I imagine it's because it's a big bloody journey for them.
That is a huge journey into that, to be fair. Bloody hell. I hadn't considered that, but you're absolutely right. That is a long, long journey. It is interesting with this, isn't it? You are right. Ian Foster hasn't really set the world alight since coming in at Plymouth. And Plymouth's home record has been pretty good this season. Ian Foster really will be relying on that to try and stave off the threat of relegation, which is growing at a bit of a concerning rate for Plymouth. Yeah. So certainly one to keep an eye on, but they have got the tools to really harm Preston in the form of Morgan Whittaker in particular. But I mean, the point I was going to make, Justin, was Ryan Lowe seems to have a knack for making his team turn up in games where he really, really wants to win. And I imagine this is one game in particular that he will really, really want to win.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are two scenarios in which Ryan Lowe gets more out of his team. It's the point where, yes, he's coming up against a team that he really wants to beat, a former team or a local team, or at the point in which he's probably on the verge of getting the sack. And then they turn it on again, and then they go again. And I think this is one of those occasions, obviously. Obviously, the sack's nowhere near because they are in a really good vein of form, despite losing last weekend to Stoke. But Plymouth is a beatable team at the moment. And again, if Preston are going to want to push for the playoffs and have a realistic chance of finishing in the top six, whether it is or it isn't, they do need to win away. And it'll be, I wouldn't say it's a bit of a statement win, but a win going into the international break and coming out of the international break in really good vein of form is a really, really good place to be.
My outsider for the weekend is Watford to win away at Birmingham. I'm hoping for a new manager bounce under old Tom Cleverley, Tommy Cleves, as I like to call him. Watford finally pulled the trigger on Valerian Ismail last weekend. So let's see what Cleves is all about. He's said to be a popular man at Watford, of course, was a teammate with a lot of the players before he retired last year. He's a bit of a cult hero kind of down at Watford. So maybe him being appointed until the end of the season may garner some sort of response from the players. There's definitely some talented players at Watford. I don't think anyone is particularly denying that. Perhaps they just weren't being used to the best of their abilities under Ismail. And only time will tell in that regard, I suppose. But look, Birmingham away is a great chance for Watford to get a much-needed 3 points. As we mentioned in yesterday's episode, they are really struggling right now. 1 point from 5 games, massively looking over their shoulder in the relegation battle. And it seems like the main reason why they're struggling so much is the absence of Tony Mowbray. He might be back not too long after the international break, but until then, it's his assistant Mark Venus who's in charge, and he's not had a great time of it. So this is a really good opportunity for Watford to get back to winning ways. They've only won one of their last 10 games, and that was against Rotherham. So I am putting a lot of faith in the new manager bounce here, but also, of course, taking into account that they are coming up against a massively struggling Birmingham City. So the ingredients are there for this to be a good outsider pick, Justin, I reckon.
With the greatest respect, the last time Watford had a new manager bounce was 2020 when Isco Munoz took charge. That's the last time bringing in a new manager has worked for them in their favour. So it's a bold pick in that sense, because I just don't think this Watford team's good enough or has a depth enough to compete. And they're going away to St Andrews, which again is an awkward fixture for any team. I know Borough won there in midweek and Southampton won there at the weekend, but Birmingham took Southampton to the very end of the game and maybe could have picked up a result and played well. Didn't play well, particularly midweek. But they're coming up against a Watford team who aren't in a good run of form, who have just sacked the manager, who now have an inexperienced coach or manager in Tom Cleverley at the helm. And they're relying on a new manager bounce that hasn't been apparent since December 2020 when the championship legend Isco Munoz took charge.
Championship legend, I'm not sure I'll get that far. And they had a bit of a new manager bounce under Slaven Bilic initially, didn't they?
Didn't last particularly long,
but you know, it's not completely out of the realms of possibility. I mean, that's kind of how Watford have had any form of success over the past 10 years, relying on new manager bounces. So maybe this will work. I'm not coming into this full of confidence because, of course, it's an outsider anyway. So you've struggled to find many over the course of the season where we are particularly confident. But I just look at Birmingham right now and they're struggling so much under Mark Venus that I've struggled to find much confidence in them being, you know, the big favourites for this one. So that's why I'm going for Watford here. And I'm hoping Tommy Cleves gets me to more comfortable footing when it comes to, our predictions for the season. And I can finally book that coach trip for you to go from Sunderland to Plymouth.
Oh, you're booking it for me?
I don't remember saying that. Now it's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Lowe?
Fucking shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Lowe. This is the game where you have to rank four things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that, and there's three questions. So this week, I'm providing the questions for Justin. Are you ready, Peachy?
I'm always ready. You know this. You don't have to keep asking me week by week.
I'm always ready.
I'm on my toes. I'm stretched. I'm limber. Let's bloody go.
Good. Good to hear it. So, Justin, this first question is about four old codgers in the Championship. Can you rank for me who is the oldest out of these four players? Albert Adoma, Johnny Howson, Billy Sharp, Jamie Vardy. Now, I will point out they're all different ages. It's not coming down to a matter of days or anything like that. So can you rank them from oldest to youngest, please?
Good. I'm glad you're not going to be an arsehole about it and do that. They're all evergreen players. Billy Sharp seems the oldest. I mean, Vardy still plays like he's 25. Albert Adoma still plays like he's 25. And Johnny Howson still plays like he's 25. Billy Sharp plays like he's 38. Based purely on that loose logic, I'm going to go Billy Sharp top. Then I'm going to go Albert Adoma because I think he's... I think he's like 55, but he's just an incredible athlete and he's forever young.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Albert Adoma. I know I just logically just said Albert Adoma is 55 and he's technically younger, but
get on with it, please.
Okay, I'm getting on with it. I'll go Jamie Vardy next, then Johnny Howson.
Oh, Justin, you've got Adoma and Vardy mixed up. Apart from that, you absolutely nailed it. Billy Sharp is 38. Jamie Vardy, 37. I can't believe he's 37. Still playing so well.
He's 37.
I was checking earlier. He's in the top 10 goal scorers this season. Still got it, ain't he? Albert Adoma, 36. Johnny Howson, 35. So you were close, Justin.
I can't believe Jamie Vardy's... I don't know why. I know how old he is. Well, I didn't, obviously, but he's 37. The man's closer to 40 than he is to 30, and he's still scoring goals at Championship level. That's disgusting.
Top class. He's just top class. You know what? He's still got the urge to just shithouse fans as much as possible.
He just does it.
And you know what? I respect him for it. Justin, this is kind of a question at the opposite end of the scale. Here are some of the youngest players to ever play in the Championship. I want you to rank them on how old they were when they made their debut. Youngest to oldest, please. Those players are Jude Bellingham, Gareth Bale, Theo Walcott, Connor Wickham.
Connor Wickham.
Okay.
Cannot record his career whatsoever. who did he come through at? Was it Ipswich?
Yes. Was it Ipswich or Palace? It was Ipswich, wasn't it?
Generally, it's really harsh. It's really forgetful career. injuries haven't
helped. He was so highly rated when he first came through that one seat. There was big talk about him, and then injuries just completely buggered him.
Yeah, an FM Wonder Kid. Long throws were about 20, though. Out of 20.
Yeah, I remember that as well. Yeah.
Very bizarre. But he's a big man. Anyway, to this point, to this question, I'm going to go Jude Bellingham. I think he made his debut while he was youngest, despite looking like a man at the tender age of 16. Then I'm going to go with... go through
Bale, Bellingham, Walcott, Wickham.
Actually, no, I think Theo Walcott was the youngest. Then we're going to go Bellingham. Then we're going to go Bale. I was there for his first career goal against Derby County. A wonderfully hit free kick. Then I'm going to go Connor Wickham.
Justin Peach. Wow, oh wow. You have completely butchered that one, dear boy. Connor Wickham was the youngest. He made his debut less than 2 weeks after his 16th birthday. I vaguely recall it, and he was absolutely huge for a 16-year-old at the time when he did that. Jude Bellingham was next. He made his debut a month after his 16th birthday. Theo Walcott was 16 years and 4 months. Gareth Bale was 16 years and 9 months.
Wow. Children.
That's all you've got for me. Okay, fine.
They were just children.
They were just children. You are absolutely right. Justin, this is your final Scott High or Ryan Lowe. And of course, it's Cheltenham this week. So let's do a horse racing question to finish things off. Rank these four championship sides on who is nearest to a race course. Coventry City, Leeds United, Leicester City, Stoke City.
I've no idea. I don't do horse racing.
You could have a good guess and you won't be too far off, I don't think.
Fair enough. Well, so you've got Coventry, Stoke, Leicester,
Leeds.
I don't have a clue. I know Uttoxeter's in between Derby and Stoke because it's on the way to Stoke. So I think Stoke's probably closest.
Okay.
Coventry, I feel like there's a lot going on in Coventry City Centre. I don't think there's space for a race course.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with not them being second. I'm going to go with Leicester being second. I don't know if there's a race. There is a race course in Leicester. I've been to it. I'm going to go there Leicester second. Then I'm going to go Leeds because Leeds. And then I'm going to go Coventry last because of my logic of it being a very built-up city.
So you think there's a race course in Leicester, but you're not putting them top?
Okay, I'll put them top then and go Stoke second. They're the only two racecourses I know in the UK, apparently.
There you go, then. No, you were wrong. You were very wrong, Justin.
Fantastic.
Leicester were top. They do have a racecourse in Leicester. 3 miles it is from the King Power Stadium. Coventry were next, 15 miles away from Warwick Racecourse. Leeds were next, 16 miles to Pontefract Racecourse. And Stoke were last, 17 miles away from Uttoxeter Racecourse.
Yeah, it is a big distance to Uttoxeter Racecourse from Stoke.
Yeah. I appreciated your thought behind it, but it didn't really play out there, did it? So not a very good Scott High or Ryan Lowe there from you, Justin. How do you feel?
A bit deflated. I was talking about being limbered up and happy and really buzzing, but now it's got me down.
I know how to cheer you up, mate. Get on Galloping Deschamps in the Gold Cup on Friday. Come on, Justin.
I don't know what that means, but all right, we'll do it.
There we go. I've got Justin on board. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. We'll be back again on Sunday to give you a roundup of all the action in the Championship this coming weekend. So we bloody look forward to seeing you then. But this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Tilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.